Das kann also sicher nicht mit so einem Rechtsgeschlag, aber wenn wir heute im Sechlitz gesuppe, es darf mehr. Sagt der Mischne, if an orphan who is in Arusa and was then divorced, Rabbi Elazar says, one who rapes her would be subject to the penalty, but someone who seduces her would not be subject to the penalty, because since the penalty goes to her, and she agreed to it, he's not going to be chayiv to the knas. Zok Amar Rav Bar Chanan, the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said Rabbi Elazar's view follows the view of his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, who said that a nair who was in Arusa and was then divorced is entitled to keep the penalty money. Rabbi Elazar must hold like this because this his halach in our Mishnah seems to be a pashut. The Mishnah therefore must be teaching us that a nair who was in Arusa and was then divorced is like a yisoyma in that she keeps the penalty money for herself. The Gemara passes in the name of Rav that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. Zokt the Mishnah, how much is the payment for embarrassment? The Mishnah says it all depends on the person who did the humiliation and the person who was humiliated. The amount of depreciation, the Mishnah says, is determined by calculating how much she was worth as a maidservant before she was violated and how much less she's worth now. The difference is the amount that has to be made as a payment. Zokt the Mishnah, the penalty is a fixed amount, which is equal for all people. Every monetary obligation that is fixed in the Torah is equal for all people. In fact, the Gemara, maybe the Torah meant for the violator to pay 50 shkalim, which is supposed to cover all payment obligations. Rabbi Zeir said it can't be that someone who violates a princess and someone who violates a regular girl would end up paying the same amount. Therefore, it must be that there are additional payments beyond the 50 shkalim of knas. Abayi asks, we see that a set penalty is levied when someone's animal kills a slave, and we don't say that different amounts are given for slaves with different levels of skill. Rather, Rabbi Zeir said it can't be that one who violates a girl who had unnatural bia first should pay the same amount as someone who violates a girl who never had any relations, meaning even she never even had the shleiket arka relations. So it must be that there are other payments made as well. Abaye asks, we find that the same penalty is there when someone's animal kills a slave. We don't look at the health status of the slave. It's always the same. It's the same amount. So why should this be different? Abaye therefore said the pasuk says tachas asher ina, which teaches that the 50 shkolim are only payment for the Asher Ina for the violation, but this suggests that there are other payments for Baish and Pagam as well. Rava said the pasuk says Venasan Ho'ish Hashoichev Ima, which teaches that the penalty is for the pleasure he had from the Bia. This suggests that there are other payments for Baish and Pagam as well. Fakamar, maybe we should say that the payments of Baishas of Begam should go to the girl herself and not to her father. And Moses, the Pasuk says, Benura Beisavia, which uses all profits of the Naira go to her father. In fact, we find that Rafuna, name of Rav, learns that a daughter's wages go to her father from the fact that he's allowed to sell her as a maid. Why couldn't he just learn it out from the Pasuk of Benura Beisavia? Because it must be that Benura Beisavia is teaching regarding nullifying her vows. If so, how do we know that the father gets the Baishas of Begam payments? We can't say we learn it out from the fact that he can nullify her vows, because we don't learn out the Mamanis from Isurin. And you also can't learn it out from the fact that he gets the penalty payment, because we don't learn out Mominus from Knossim. Zakhtimar, it's logical that these payments go to the father, since he can give her over to a disgusting person in marriage if he wanted to, which would embarrass her and blemish her. It must be he's entitled to the Boishas and the Pagam payment, you see, because he's somewhat of a baal over her Boishas and Pagam situation. Mishnah said, Pagam royin oisa kilu hi shivcha nim keres. How do we evaluate depreciation? In fact, Gemara, so Shmuel's father said, we see the difference in how much a person would pay for a maid who is a basula, more than he would pay for a maid who is not a basula. In fact, remember, why would anyone pay more for the fact that a maid is a basula? What's the difference to him for the work that she's going to do? And Mara said, could we see how much more a person would pay for a maid who is a basula so that he can give this basula to his eved in marriage? Because the eved would be happier with getting a basula. We're talking about he has an eved he wants to, he's very happy with and wants to sort of, give him something that he would appreciate. So how much more would he pay for a shif who is a basula to be able to do that? That's how we make the calculation. Zuck the Mishnah, in every place where a sale of the girl by her father may be done, there's no penalty for violating her. Wherever there's a penalty for violating her, he's not allowed to sell her. The Mishnah says a katana may be sold, and therefore there's no knas for one violating her. A naira it does get knas, and therefore the father is not allowed to sell her. A begeres may not be sold by the father, and she's also not entitled to knas for having been violated. Zaknum Rabbi Yehuda Nim Rav said the Mishnah follows the view of Rav Meir, but the Rabbanon hold that there is entitlement for knas even when this girl may be sold, meaning even as a ketana. This machlok is brought in the Braisa as well. Rav Chista said Rav Meir's view is based on the pasuk of Veloy Sihiye Leisha, which teaches that only a girl who can consent to a marriage, meaning a naira, is entitled to the knas. Rish Lakish explains that the Rabbanon's view is based on the pasuk spelling of the word naira without the letter hey, which suggests that this includes a ketana as well.